Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Jesus designed his church to be prayer-driven, not program-driven. For the church to effectively stand, serve, and evangelize, Christians must pray with and for one another. Prayer is a gift from God that creates a spiritual union that binds us together in our fellowship with Jesus and with one another. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola uses verses 13 through 18 of James chapter 5 to show us how important it is for us to pray, especially for one another.
Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I want to approach this beatitude from two angles this morning. Two angles. Number one, what does it mean to be a peacemaker as an evangelical Christian when it comes to sharing the gospel in a fallen world? And number two, what does it mean to be a peacemaker within the body of Christ? Would it be surprising to you if I said that the world that we live in is not a very friendly world? In fact, it's a pretty angry world, pretty hostile world. Back in October of 1983, so things have not gotten better since then, Psychology Today posed this intriguing question. Listen to this. If you could push a button and thereby eliminate any person with no repercussions to yourself, would you do it? Well, there's the answer to the survey. 60% of the people questioned said yes. But one man posed an even better question. He said, if such a device were invented, would anyone live to tell about it? Peace, it's a beautiful word. And it's something that you and I as Christians are not going to fully experience until we get to glory. But it's a word that our world seeks to find and experience. And the answer to the world's conflicts and wars, of course, are not the United Nations or the Peace Corps. That's because those are man-made efforts to bring about peace apart from the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Whenever we seek to bring about the peace of God in the flesh, it always ends up in war. The Middle East. Oh, the Middle East. It's always in the news, isn't it? The Jews against everyone else in the Middle East. What brought about that conflict? Well, it was a man and his wife who sought to fulfill the promise of God in the flesh. Whenever we seek to broker peace in the flesh, apart from the Word of God, the Spirit of God, or the principles of God, there's always going to be conflict. There's always going to be war. And so this next beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. First of all, what is a peacemaker? We need to understand what it isn't. Sometimes when we want to find out what something is, we've got to find out what it isn't. A peacemaker is not avoiding conflict or confrontation because of sin or because of rebellion. It is dealing with the situation prayerfully, lovingly, and for the glory of God. What does the word peacemaker mean? The word make, Dr. Ray Pritchard tells us, in the term peacemakers, comes from the Greek word that means to do or to make. In other words, biblical peacemaking is not passive. It just doesn't happen. Have you found that problems just don't take care of themselves? They must be addressed. They must be handled in a biblical way. So a biblical peacemaker, understand this, is not someone that is passive. Peace must be sought. Peace isn't just going to happen. One commentator said, a peacemaker drags the combatants to the table and gives them a reason to put down their arms. Jesus never said, blessed are the peace wishers, Blessed are the peace hoppers. Blessed are the peace dreamers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. And so one of the things we have to understand about being a peacemaker is that it's not to be understood as meaning the absence of conflict. It is the presence of Christ and his truth brought into the midst of the conflict. A peacemaker is never to be understood as someone who compromises with sin or compromises with evil. They are, he or she is, a person who confronts sin and confronts evil with the truth for the sake of establishing true, true peace. But to be a peacemaker, you must first be a child of God. You see, because peacemaking will be the normal occupation for those who have come to know the peace of Christ. So to begin with, how do you become a son of God? How do you become a child of God? John 1:12 says, to all who receive him, that is Jesus, he gives the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. In other words, when you and I call out to Christ as sinners, seeking forgiveness, seeking salvation, with a broken and a contrite heart, poor in spirit, mourning for sin, we become, by grace through faith, a child of God. God regenerates us, and the Spirit of God dwells within us, and he now is going to be the agent of peacemaking. With the new birth, you and I become partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says. And we know from Scripture that our Father is the God of peace. You've heard the saying, like Father, like Son. Listen to this candid explanation written by a pastor on the internet. With each beatitude, another nail is driven into a coffin. Inside the coffin lies the corpse of a false understanding of salvation. The false understanding said that a person can be saved without being changed, or that a person can inherit eternal life even if his attitudes and actions are like the attitudes and actions of unbelievers. How true! When you and I are born again, we are changed. We are not perfect, but God rewires us. The DNA is changed. Our attitude is changed. Our desire is changed. Our desire to do things are changed. And thus, being a peacemaker is very important that we understand what it means biblically. You see, because I was thinking about maybe taking out my old Woodstock headband and my tie-dyed shirt and my bell-bottom pants and go, peace, love, and come walking up here. And because, you know, we prided ourselves in being the peaceful generation. We were the most obnoxious rebels and troublemakers that ever stepped foot on this planet. We weren't peacemakers, we were troublemakers. We were very, very passive. Anybody could do whatever they want, wherever they wanted, with whoever they wanted, and as long as you were happy, that was okay. And so it's important that we have a biblical understanding of what it means to be a peacemaker in the world, as evangelicals, and within the body of Christ. And keep in mind that whenever we talk about peacemaking, it's always based on God's justice, and it's always based on God's righteousness. And whenever God's justice and righteousness rules, and the divine order is followed, in the home, on the job, on the team, or in the church, there will always be peace. Always. When the divine order is followed. But we will see, sometimes it doesn't always end up that way. So what does it mean, first of all, to be a peacemaker as an evangelical Christian when it comes to sharing the gospel? Well, we are aware as evangelicals of those beautiful, heartwarming, precious promises of Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes those are the only ones we think of. But you know, Jesus drew a line in the sand at times. You know that? There were conditions of peace. How about these words of our precious Lord? Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Time out. What are you talking about? I thought today was about being a peacemaker. And now you're talking about a sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus. Well, who was the example of being a peacemaker? The classic example is Jesus Christ. Consider this. When Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God in and out of the synagogues, he was upsetting the theologians and the scribes of the day, but he was being a peacemaker. Why? Because he was bringing the truth of God to bear to people who were being led astray and kept in bondage. How many of you have read? I know those of you that are saved, if you're new to the scriptures, maybe you've never gotten to the part where Jesus goes into the temple area and he turns over the table of the money changers. You know what Jesus was doing there? He was being a peacemaker. You know why? Because the religious leaders were prostituting the name of God and ripping off the people of God financially. He was setting the record straight. You see, by bringing the truth of God into areas of darkness and deception with the hope of seeing people delivered and set free for the glory of God, Jesus was bringing the piercing sword of truth forth, and in doing so, he was modeling for you and I what being a peacemaker really looks like. When Jesus said, "Follow me, beloved," he wasn't inviting us to a life of popularity. Right? Remember when you got saved? When I got saved, God so wonderfully, like you, and so graciously saved me and transformed me from a horrible, horrible, despicable life. And I thought, surely, when I tell my mom and my aunts and my uncles and my friends and my co-workers that I've given my life to Jesus Christ, they're going to do cartwheels. No, they didn't. They got upset. Terribly upset. Bothered. My family said, "We didn't raise you to live like this." Excuse me? And what was the crime? Seeking to bring the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ into a dark world. "Think not that I am come, to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." There is no contradiction whatsoever in those words from Matthew chapter 10 with Jesus' words, "Blessed are the peacemakers." What is Jesus telling us here? He's telling us here, beloved, that the truth of God is the only source of peace between fallen man and God. You see, when a person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and refuses to believe God's word and is unwilling to come to God on his terms, it will have a sword-like effect upon their soul. It will cut deep. It will pierce a person's pride. It may expose secret sin. It will offend the flesh. It will offend false religious beliefs. At times, it will divide households. And at times, it will be the cause of a very unpeaceful response. The next beatitude proves that. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." You see, being a peacemaker in a fallen world system that is run by the devil is spiritual warfare, beloved. You know why? Because eternity is on the line, and the powers of darkness are not passive in their opposition. To be a peacemaker, in the evangelical sense, means that we must be careful when we are presenting the Word of God to those who are lost. We must be careful that we present very, very clearly the deadly nature of sin and the power of the gospel to forgive. You see, because that's the only way of salvation, by knowing what the problem is and then being presented with the solution. You can't offer them the solution without them knowing the problem. And thus, until a person faces their false notions about sin and salvation, they can have no peace. So enter you and me, the evangelical. You know, the world that we live in doesn't have God's peace. The wicked or the lost do not have God's peace. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 20 says that the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. Their waters are mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so what is the command of God? What is the great commission to you and me? You and me, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, have you ever found that when you've preached the gospel as lovingly as you can, as clearly as you can, that there's still opposition many times, correct? How do you know? Because I was the one who was opposing at one time, and so were you. And so we have to understand what it means to be a peacemaker in an evangelical sense. And we're going to look at what it means to be a peacemaker within the body of Christ. But back to the evangelical sense. When believers bring the truth of the gospel into a world that loves falsehood, there is going to be opposition. There is going to be strife. In fact, right now, you know it and I know it. There are millions of born-again Christians who are being persecuted, beaten, and even killed because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and because they proclaim that the only way to the Father is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is their crime. Are they troublemakers because they're bringing the gospel of peace? No, they are peacemakers going in the name of the Prince of Peace. When you and I preach that Jesus is the only way to God in a liberal, religiously blinded, all roads lead to God culture, there is going to be conflict, there is going to be tension, no matter how lovingly you share. Thus seeking to be peace can not only be dangerous, but deadly. Every one of the apostles, except for John, were martyred. What was their crime? Being a peacemaker. Stephen, what was the crime? Being a peacemaker. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. What was the crime of those individuals? Being a peacemaker. Today, what is the crime of individuals like that Iranian pastor that was beheaded? What was his crime? Being a peacemaker, bringing the gospel of peace. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it and it alone is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And when you and I step into the world as evangelicals, our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But there will be opposition. There will be tension. I'm not telling you anything that you do not already know, but it's important to clarify it. When Jude wrote that powerful epistle just before the book of Revelation, he says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Listen to what John MacArthur says about that. Quote, as evangelicals, we have to be contentious about some things. Being a peacemaker is not saying, well, I don't want to offend that dear soul. We are to bring the gospel to bear, and it will ruffle feathers, and it will convict. And if it brings contention, and it brings contention and strife, and it brings conflict. But when the conflict is resolved by faith in Jesus Christ, there will be true peace. But you've got to dare to go. You've got to dare to share the truth, don't you? You have to. Biblical peacemakers are not quiet, passive, easygoing people who make no waves or compromise the truth of the gospel. They go out boldly and proclaim that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A biblical peacemaker, as an evangelical, is willing to lay down their very lives, if necessary, to see souls saved for the glory of God. And so when you and I, as evangelicals, walk out of this building today into the world, we're stepping into hostile territory. We are. But our commission is to go and reach them with the gospel that will bring them peace. That's a message Satan doesn't want them to hear. But you and I must have the courage and the power of the Spirit to bring it to them. Secondly, what does it mean to be a peacemaker within the body of Christ? I'm going to break this down for the next 50 weeks. No. It's amazing, all of the material that's out there. This is an important issue, isn't it? Peace within the body of Christ. One commentator said this: what is the reason for so much strife, tension, bitterness, and conflict within the family of God? The biblical answer is simple. James 4:1. From where come wars and fightings among you? Do they not come hence even from the lusts that war in your members? That's true, isn't it? You know, the body of Christ is an organism. There's one body, and there's little parts of the body. We are an organism, not an organization. It has been said, and it is true, we're a household, we're a family. Now, let me ask you, everybody here is a part of a family, right? Part of a family, okay? We have a few Martians here because some of you didn't raise your hand, but we are a part of a family. Now, in your family, is there tension from time to time? Husbands, wives, do you always get along? Like birds flying over your head, Mozart playing in the background. Oh, yes, honey. And we all know that parents and children get along just wonderfully, all the time. Siblings never disagree, right? I mean, we are just one big non-conflict, non-tension. What? Conflict. Tension. Disagreement. It's all part of family. And the body of Christ is a family. But being a peacemaker, now let's bring it to within the family, in the biblical fashion, is not an easy fashion. Listen to what this commentator said. Biblical peacemaking within the body of Christ is costly, time-consuming, painful, and emotionally exhausting. Those who do it will often be misunderstood because to the natural man, a peacemaker is perceived to be a troublemaker. Being a peacemaker within the family of God is like being a bridge builder who uses biblical truth and biblical principles to build a bridge between opposing parties. End of quote. I think it was Yitzhak Rabin who was asked, why are you making peace with Yasser Arafat? And he says, because you make peace with your enemies. You don't have to make peace with your friends. And what happened to it? He got assassinated. And many times when you seek to make peace within the body of Christ, you will get assassinated. Sometimes it means there will be a struggle. Sometimes it means there will be pain. Sometimes it means there will be anguish. Sometimes it will even create a little bit more strife. But in the end, hearts are right and the Spirit of God prevails over emotions and opinions, real peace can come. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.